to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast about looking at gay lady movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Today we're talking about The Feels, which is a 2017 film.
Yes. And it has Constance Wu playing a lesbian, which is the most important thing you need to know about this movie.
That sums it up.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all done now.
Yeah. Okay, see you next week.
That's not to say this wasn't a good film
no.
at all. I really liked it, actually.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yes, it's so Constance Wu plays Andy, Angela Trimber plays Lou, and it's directed by, I'm not sure if it's Jenny or Janae.
I think it's Janae because there's an accent. Yeah,
and she has a French last name, so I'm going to say Janae Lamarck. Yeah.
Yeah, it also, I read, had an, well, it had an 80% female cast, which we could
just
see. I
saw that too, yeah.
And a 68% female crew.
That is awesome.
Which is cool.
And what's kind of interesting is that, like, I don't really think of, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff because I'm not in the entertainment industry, but the fact that, you know, that was a, I guess, a statistic people that people shared is, like, interesting and sad.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, well, 80%'s good, 60%, that's good too.
Yeah. Could
All right.
be better.
Yeah.
Guess,
but whatever. So, this movie, I didn't really know what I was getting into.
I had seen it. So, it premiered at TWIST, which is Seattle's Queer Film Festival, last year. It was last year, 2017. God, what year is it? It feels like it's been an eternity.
What year is it?
Anyway, every day feels like a year. And I really liked it. And now it's on Netflix. It's about this bachelorette weekend, pretty much. Lou and Andy are getting married. And they rent this cabin somewhere in California.
Yeah, like, wine country.
Yeah. And they have their friends come, and Andy's sister comes. Lou's sister. Lou's sister, Nikki, comes. Most of the friends are Andy's.
Yes.
In fact, all of them.
All of
except
them.
For Nikki.
And Helen.
And Helen, who is the real MVP of this entire movie.
I love Helen so much.
So funny. Every scene with her is just gold. Ever Maynard is the actress name. I think she's a stand-up comic.
Yeah, so she's a stand-up comic.
They're actually all comedians in some way, sort of.
Yeah, so I was reading an article, and I will we'll link it in the show notes. I can't remember it right now, what it's called. But basically, the director wanted to have comedic actresses who are Constance and Angela. They also got stand-up comedians, Ever Maynard and Josh Fadem, who plays Josh.
Yeah.
Good job not changing the guy's name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the woman who plays Karen is also named Karen, and she's also a musician.
Yeah, and then the woman who plays Vivian, Lauren, they're like her, they're her real life, the director's real life friends, and Lauren is a co-writer.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
So it's like a very close-knit, you know, I like that it's, yeah, I like that it's all kind of interwoven and it's close, like a little family.
Yeah, and this whole movie was basically improvised, I think.
Yeah.
Which they did on purpose because that's why they hired all those people.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and
who are good at improv.
It's interesting because, like, obviously it doesn't sound like a regular film. Like, the dialogue doesn't sound like it.
I mean, they're talking over each other all the time. They're having, like, really natural conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all natural. Like, it reminds you of you and your friends.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, and I liked that about it. It was really funny, because it started out as a Kickstarter campaign, and I went to the Kickstarter page, and it said an improvised comedy about the female orgasm. And I was like,
hey, that's a good way to describe it.
That makes it, that's it.
That's basically what it is.
All right, now we're officially done. We can start.
Okay, bye. Just kidding, don't go anywhere. We still have a lot more to say.
Yeah, so before we hit record, I was saying I wrote only 1, 2, 3, like 3.5 pages of notes. for this one.
Which is not a lot for Alicia.
No. Usually I'm like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament to how good this movie was because I just was engrossed, you know, and I wanted, and I think part of it, like not being, people were like talking over each other. Like I had to pay attention.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. You do have to pay attention.
It was a brain party.
Brain party.
Brain party.
A bachelorette brain party.
Also, okay. So yes, it starts off and they have the bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
They have a joint bachelorette party, which I don't really agree with.
You don't agree with it?
Like, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea for in some ways and terrible idea in others, which...
Well, there was a lot of drama.
This movie encompasses why it's a good idea and a terrible idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's like, of course, when you're getting married to the person you love, like, you want to spend all the time with them.
Right.
It's nice. And of course, you usually have the same friends.
Yeah.
And get together and have a party, but if you're like these ladies, it's not always like that.
Yeah. Well, it's true that, like, you know, people have different friends from different areas of their lives, and so your friends aren't necessarily all going to be the same with your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this story in particular, like, Andy's character, you see from the beginning that she's kind of dominant in the relationship, and that she is also kind of oblivious to what Lou is thinking or feeling, which at the same time, which she also makes this point later, Lou doesn't speak up for herself in the relationship either, but they're both really in love with each other and they're a really cute couple.
They are very cute.
But it sort of comes out that Lou's never had an orgasm.
Yeah.
She's been faking it the whole time, and that really upsets Andy.
Yeah. It's
because Andy comes all the time. when she goes down on her later in the movie,
she doesn't.
Andy's the one who's coming.
Yeah, it's like so she doesn't necessarily need any like stimulus of like touch or anything like that to get her to that point where it's like, you know, complete opposite of the spectrum. It's like, you know, comes really easy, it takes a long time to come or whatever.
Yeah.
But Andy, it seems like, has never had an orgasm ever, like, even through...
You mean Lou.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can mix them up.
Yeah, Lou has never had an orgasm, probably even through, like, masturbation. They don't say so, but I don't know.
Well, she does... I think you're supposed to assume that she's never had one, no matter what.
Because I think
when they take Molly one of the nights...
Ecstasy, as the old people call it.
And she just says, like... She leans back into the wall, she's all happy, and she's like, is this what an orgasm feels like?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what? But it's the other thing that happens throughout this movie is that they interview the different characters about their something related to an orgasm experience. So, like,
I think it's their first orgasm.
Right, but they kind of talk about different things, like Karen talks about. Yeah, it's... It's but, more about, like, their sexual awakening kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But... Andy's the first one. That scene opens the movie where she's being interviewed about her first orgasm, and she talks about how they moved into a house when she was a kid that had 2 floors instead of one, and she like slid down the banister and then inched her way back up and then
felt something.
And she's been having orgasms all the time ever since.
But it's just like, that's such like a little kid thing. Like, I can totally picture that.
Me too. You know? Like, that definitely was kind of similar to like probably my first and orgasm story.
You don't really know it.
No, you don't.
You might not even remember it.
Yeah.
Like that it is an orgasm or something similar. But it's just because it's just like a developmental stage.
Right, exactly. And people don't want to talk about that kids can feel stuff like in their genitals because they're like, oh no, that's like evil and wrong or whatever.
I remember
it happens all the time.
Yeah, I remember in my like ed psych class, it was like, if a kid doesn't have their hands down their pants at some point in their life, like, that's a developmental stage that they are missing. Like, it's just how it is. It's how we are. It's it's part of the human
The only thing that's gross is if some adult is involved.
Yes.
Like, if you're just exploring your own body.
You're just touching your hula.
That's awesome.
By yourself, having some fun.
You do it. You go for it.
You do it, little Alicia.
Yeah, baby us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That reminds me of Nikki, when it's her time mm-hmm. to talk, she says how her parents would call a penis, but they would call a vagina a missy.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, that's so fucking legit.
Yeah.
Like, it's that's the kind of stuff, like, I don't think, or I think about it now, but, mm-hmm. like, it still kind of, like, blows my mind, or it's, like, little things. Like, why are there so many nicknames for a vagina?
Yeah. There's actually a really awesome book called We Were Witches by Ariel Gore.
Oh, you just posted
amazing
about that.
Writer. Did I?
I think so.
Oh, I don't know, but I love her writing. And We Were Witches, she has this whole chapter of, like, nicknames for vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just wild because, first of all, it's funny in some ways, but in some ways it's just really depressing.
Yeah.
It's, like, pages and pages, and it's just a list.
It's kind of like you're thinking of, people are describing a vagina as, like, a toy.
Yeah.
You know? It's giving it, like, giving it so many names like that, and it's just, like, at least in my opinion, it sounds kind of like a toy.
Yeah, it's something that is definitely belittled. And it goes back to what we were talking about last time about, like, Ann Lister and how during that time, no one was really suspicious of two women together because they didn't think anything sexual could happen without a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, ooh. The vagina is so disrespected.
And I have a, oh my God, you have to remind me because in our next recording for our next film, I have a thing about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try
also, if you hear like cars or a baby in the background, it's because we do all of our recordings in libraries.
Yeah. This one's a particularly noisy one. It's not our usual spot.
It's really beautiful, but
it is very beautiful.
Anyway, just
it's
so you know.
It's fall outside.
Sounds of Seattle.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're supporting the public libraries. Mm-hmm. Anyway, vaginas.
Also, just. I just want to say, like, not all women have vaginas. Not all men have penises. Vaginas are a thing, irrespective of gender. But in this movie, it's all cis women.
Yes. That is a good note. Thank you. I want to talk about how Andy is so put off by the fact that Lou has never come.
Yeah.
I have so many feelings about this. And really, all I can think of is the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And how it, like, seeps its way into our culture in ways that we don't even think about. So, like, you and I, as gay women, have this idea of, like, you know, if I don't please my woman, quote unquote, then I am less than whatever you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Andy's feeling a lot of.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily agree with that feeling.
No, but yeah, you can see where it comes from.
Yeah, and it's just...
Because it, like, orgasm is kind of held up as, like, the only objective of sex, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
And it, Lou kind of knows that. It kind of comes out of her at the end when they're, like, having that big fight.
Yeah, because it's not like she doesn't enjoy sex.
Right. And you can tell there's a sex scene in the beginning when Lou, like, fakes it, and then she's, I don't know what she's doing. She's fingering or something.
Yeah.
Andy. And when Andy comes, Lou's just, like, she has this look on her face. She's really happy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She's like, yay, I did it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a thing that's nice, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to be, like, this total deal-breaker, which is what Andy sees it as.
Yeah. And to be quite honest, the vagina is so complex
really
and complicated.
Is. Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
No, it's like a puzzle. You have to figure it out.
And
everyone's different.
Everyone has a different puzzle in their pants. See? That's
the
another one.
Best thing you've ever said.
Everyone has a different puzzle in their pants, and
that
everyone...
That should be our slogan. Sorry, keep going.
No, I'm putting on a t-shirt as we speak. I'm going to leave right now. No, but it's true. It's like, it doesn't matter what sort of genitalia you have. Mm-hmm. It's like, everyone feels, something feels good to someone in a different way. I don't know. Like, everyone's different.
Yeah.
And what feels good to me might not feel good to you.
Mm-hmm. What feels good one day might not feel good the next day. Even on the same person.
Girl, I know. Sometimes I get frustrated, you know?
Yeah, it can be frustrating.
So it's like, especially with people with vaginas having sex with other people with vaginas, yeah. You gotta be aware of that. Like, let that, like, patriarchy shit, like, go. Yeah. It's not about, like...
It's not like, get to the finish line.
Yeah, it's not as easy as, like, nutting. Like a guy. A penis. Penis individual.
Yeah, it's because the sex narrative is so much about, like, a penis person's pleasure.
That's going on the next shirt.
It's going on the shirt right underneath. Like, one in the front, one in the back. Oh my god.
No,
this
but
is really devolving.
Anyway. Penis. No, but it's so true because... And that's what I meant by, like, the patriarchy. It's like, this is so male-driven mm-hmm. and, like, what's, you know, quote-unquote, the point of sex? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and in essence, or at least it's been viewed before, is to, like, get men off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when
getting off is the goal, and it's two women, two people with vaginas, like, mm-hmm. what?
Yeah.
And one of them doesn't come immediately, yeah. or whatever.
Or, like, it, they really need a lot of time to, like...
Yeah, feel comfortable.
Yeah, because feeling comfortable is a huge part of it, too.
Yeah, which this movie does talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of jumping around a
bit.
Yeah,
we are jumping around.
This isn't... I feel like... But this probably isn't going to be, like, one of our regular shows, like, going step by step, because mm-hmm. it's just kind of, like... I don't know. There's... That's really the core of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, Lou doesn't have... Has never had an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
But fakes it.
Because so, of course,
she's
Andy's
afraid.
Upset.
Yeah.
And she fakes it. Yeah, she fakes it because she's afraid to tell Lou or mm-hmm. Andy the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge part.
Yeah. But when they fight it out at the end, it's just the best.
It is.
Because they just, like, say everything, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay. And then they're fine.
Yeah, it just...
Like, they're gonna move through it.
That's, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that at the end they're going to be happy and mm-hmm. they're going to get through it.
Yeah,
and...
they're not gonna not get married.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, because it is really rocky for all... A large part of the movie, mm-hmm. once that comes out, all the mm-hmm. way into, like, what, the last 5 minutes?
Yeah.
It's super fucking rocky.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I would say more than half of the movie, it's, like, what the hell's gonna happen?
Yeah. But in the meantime, you have the side characters who really bring a lot to the movie. It's definitely, like, an ensemble thing, even though Andy and Lou's relationship is kind of, like, the central thing.
Yeah, they do... Yeah, I didn't mean to belittle it when I said that.
No.
It's like, yeah, because the ensemble characters really, they actually, you know, they enhance Andy and Lou's relationship and also show mm-hmm. the cracks in it.
Totally.
Which is...
That's a really good summary of what they do.
Especially Nikki.
Yeah. Nikki, like... You think in the beginning that she's just this total flake because she doesn't show up. She's just sending texts like, oh, sorry, I'm not sure when I'm going to make it. I'll make it to the restaurant, like, whatever.
Yeah, she makes Josh, like, do her whatever activities.
Yeah, like, decorate or whatever.
Yeah.
And actually, Andy's pretty mad at Nikki.
Yeah, she's super mad.
Andy's way more mad than Lou. And Lou says at one point, she's like, only I can talk shit about my sister.
Yeah, I saw that. Only I can talk shit about my sister. Which I thought was interesting, but it's also like...
It's pretty much the only assertive thing she said until the end.
That's true. And part of me, I don't know, part of me wonders why she's so, like, protective over her sister when her sister is kind of like, I don't know, she doesn't have a very good relationship with her first. And then...
Yeah, first, I think... Well, she is older, and she does have that speech at the restaurant, Nikki does, where mm-hmm. she says, even though I'm older, Lou's kind of always been my bigger sister.
Yeah.
And I think that's meant to imply that, like, Nikki's just been through some rough times, maybe she hasn't handled stuff that well, but as the movie goes on, you get to see her, and she's a really sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, you kind of, it's interesting, they throw the audience for a loop, because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, the sister's such an asshole, and then... They show, like, texts on the screen between her and her husband, and it's like, mm-hmm. we can't fight in front of the kids anymore, and she's crying in her car, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, she's not a major flake. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
She's just getting a divorce and is really sad.
Yeah, it's like, oh, but of course, Lou and Andy don't know any of this.
Right. It's because Nikki didn't tell them.
Yeah. I have a feeling Nikki and Lou have some...
Yeah, maybe it's a family trait. They just, like, keep stuff to themselves a lot.
Something in their family is messing shit up. They don't want to be open.
But then they both become a lot more open. And even with each other, there's a really sweet scene with the two of them down by the water.
Mm-hmm.
When... I keep wanting to say Andy, when Lou, runs down, she, runs away because Lou's really upset.
Is that after they're in bed?
Yeah, after they're in bed and Lou's trying to give her an orgasm. She's like, I'm going to focus on you. And then instead she just comes right away.
Yeah.
And Andy's like, it's okay. It's fine. And Lou's like, no. Sorry, the other way around. And he's like, no, it's not fine. We can't have this relationship like this. I need to be able to make you come. And then she also says, and you need to be able to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, they have a
She was like, what else are you keeping from me?
Yeah.
And Lou says, I'm not keeping anything. But, how do you know?
She says, how can I trust you if you're going to lie about this, essentially? And, I wish I wonder how things would have been different if Lou just from the beginning was like, that's just not how I am. Yeah. Sometimes, most of the time I don't come, I've never had an orgasm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been so different, but...
Yeah.
What I can only assume has been years of lies has really betrayed Andy.
Yeah.
And Andy's trust.
Yeah. And it's... I totally just see it from both of their perspectives because...
Oh, I get it, yeah.
Lou, she did say that she meant to tell her, but then she didn't. And as soon as you start that spiral, it's like you just get in deeper and then it gets harder.
Yeah, because it's like, when will you ever tell the truth?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like if you faked it once, you might as well fake it 1,000 times. It's going to feel the same hurt or whatever.
Right.
It's going to gonna be bad regardless.
Oh, so sad. But it's okay. They work it out.
They do. It's fine.
And, Nikki and Lou, they bond. They also smoke that gold joint together that Helen kissed them.
Helen, the real MVP.
Let's talk about Helen. She's
so fucking
amazing.
Funny. So, in her...
Everything she says is hilarious.
In her thing... So when she's getting interviewed about her first orgasm,
oh my god, that's the best part of the whole movie, hands down.
So
she just goes on and on.
Yeah, she goes on and on. She's talking about how basically she lived with her grandmother and I think her aunt.
Yeah.
And her aunt basically had a bunch of romance novels in her room, so she'd sneak into her aunt's room and get the romance novels and read them.
Yeah.
And she would
she read about the guys throbbing in his pants.
I have a throbber.
And she goes, oh, wait, do I have a throb spot or something?
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, then I had to look for my throb spot.
Where's my throb spot?
Oh my god. We're not gonna do this justice. You just gotta watch this movie.
No.
Just for this one scene alone.
There's one line she says, I really just disrespected my grandma.
Yeah. And she also talks about how she was like, yeah, then I just realized that I could come to anything. One time I saw a woman washing her dog, and I just pretended that I was the dog.
And the,
and the woman's tits were brushing against my back, and I just came right there.
And I was like, oh my god.
Oh, the best.
I love it so much.
She is so funny.
And it's like, everyone views her, except for probably Lou. Everyone views her as, pretty strange.
Yeah, Andy.
She doesn't...
Oh, no, Lou, you're right.
Yeah, but...
Oh, my God, I cannot believe
I keep looking down. That's why.
Yeah. But Lou loves her. They work together.
Oh, yeah, and they're in the kitchen as chefs.
And they went to culinary school together.
Uh-huh. And it's just kind of... It's really interesting because, Helen's so... She doesn't give a fuck what anyone thinks. She's just, and I don't even think she's aware of what other people think most of the time. She's kind of not. Like,
she's just doing her thing. She's not hurting anyone.
Helen Dean Helen. No, she's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And in the end, she hooks up with Karen.
Yeah. And it's really funny because Karen is this beautiful singer. Mm.
Oh, yeah, she has a great voice.
Her voice is so amazing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I love when movies do this. Mm-hmm. And like, they use real talent. Ah, yeah. So nice. Yeah, and she like really loves Karen stuff to the point where it's like almost fangirl creepy.
Yeah. Well, we should say Karen's character is like a YouTube star, so she's actually pretty famous.
Yeah.
So it's not weird that Helen has seen all that stuff.
No, it's not like she like has stalked her or anything like that.
But it is funny because she's like, man, I've seen all your YouTube videos. Man, I gotta ask you something. She's just like asking all these questions. And it's Karen's like,
because she has like, Helen has zero filter.
Yeah, no
like
filter.
For anything.
Yeah.
So she just does not give a fuck.
She is, the major comic relief.
So it's kind of nice that they end up, they do hook up towards the end. And
they're just making out the fire pit with
it's
everyone
so
around.
Funny
they don't care.
It was so funny because, like, I'm trying to focus on the conversation. Then I was like, oh, wait, are they?
Yeah.
Are they kissing?
I know, they're just.
Oh, my God,
it's
they
almost
are.
Like they're in the background, but then you, like, hear the kissing noises and you're like,
and I'm like,
what's happening?
They're really close together. Yeah. What's going on? And I was like, oh, yeah, they're hooking up.
Yeah. And the rest of them are just kind of ignoring them.
Okay, how do you feel about Josh?
I fucking hate Josh. I know this is no big surprise.
Broken record. But guys just need to do better.
They really do.
I'm
do
so
better.
Upset. So,
my God.
So at the
he
very...
ruined everything.
So at the very beginning, I was like, ooh, this guy, like, I'm pretty sure he has a thing for Andy, and maybe he did as a kid,
and that comes out to be the truth.
And he's kind of, like, hinting back to that or whatever, but no, he's just, like, been in love with her for, like, a decade or more.
Yeah.
And more than, probably.
Yeah, since they were kids, I think.
Yeah, and it's just, like...
And that's not even the most annoying thing.
No, not at all.
The annoying thing, okay, here's the thing that annoyed me the most about Josh, this one scene, because Josh and Nikki end up sleeping together.
Yeah.
And the way that happens is that it's like late at night, they've come back from that restaurant where they all took Molly and then they like went to a club or whatever.
That club scene was legit. It looked fun.
It looked really fun. I don't even like going to clubs and I was like, oh, this looks fun. I would dance with Constance if we went there. Anyway, so Nikki's up, everyone else is asleep. She's kind of adding some decorations to Josh's decorations because she wants to feel like she's contributing. She was supposed to be there earlier, she's supposed to help, but she didn't. And so she's like, okay, I'm gonna just do this because I can't sleep or whatever. Josh comes down to get water and he gets super defensive. He's like, what, my decorations weren't enough for you? And he makes her feel really bad about helping.
Yeah.
And then she does feel really bad and she's like, oh shit, like I'm sorry. And then he makes himself the hero to make her feel better about making her feel bad.
I got.
And then they have sex and it drives me crazy when people do that. It's just like, what the fuck, dude? You're such a manipulative asshole.
Well, I got so upset because it's like, so he tries to like console her and he's actually doing a fine job of it.
Yeah, and even then, though like, he's the one who made her upset in the first place.
I know.
But yeah, okay.
It's like, but she also has like a bunch of like emotions and she tells him that she's getting divorced. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
And of course, like whether or not he meant to make her feel like shit, which he probably did.
Yeah.
Because of
I don't think
their tensions.
Yeah, I think it's just that he is really into himself and he doesn't like, maybe he did feel bad that she was like adding to the decorations or whatever, but like
the thing,
like, dude, this isn't all about you.
Yeah, the thing that I didn't like about his character the most was that he went into this weekend looking to get fucked.
Yeah,
he was either gonna fuck Vivian or fuck someone else.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he and Vivian had a history of fucking.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just, it's so bizarre and like, it's, like, the worst qualities of men.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that scene really upset me because, like I said, he was, like, consoling her and he was fine. He hugged her. Mm-hmm. Even, it was, like, a side hug, basically. And then he brings his arm around. She's crying. And then he, you know, goes back very slowly and he puts his head in. And it's, like, doesn't even give her a place to really go. It's like, yeah, she almost has to kiss it. Has to kiss him.
Yeah.
Grammar. And it's just really awkward, and I do not like it. It's like, why do you need to get it in?
Right.
You have the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Can you not have sex this, like, one or two nights of your life?
Andy actually says that later in the movie. She's like, can you keep it in your pants for one fucking weekend?
Yeah, it's just...
So she knows that this is, like, a pattern for him.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nikki and Josh don't say anything because they don't want to upset Lou. They don't want to upset Andy.
Right. But Vivian finds out.
Yeah, Vivian finds out. And she's actually kind of devastated because she wanted...
Yeah, she wanted to hook up with Josh. It's just like, why? Why, girl?
I know. I guess maybe she wanted the attention or something. Yeah. I don't know. But
for some reason, she still has a thing for him.
Yeah. It's depressing.
Yeah, it's really depressing. Fuck that guy.
But yeah, it basically everyone knows except for Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And they're...
Yeah, because Vivian tells Andy.
Yes, Vivian tells Andy.
And then she tells everyone else.
Yeah.
Because, except for Lou.
Yeah, because Vivian and Karen can't stop, like, fucking around. Yeah. And they're, like, pretending to, like, deep throat fruit or whatever.
Yeah.
And gag. And at first, Lou thinks it's about her.
Yeah, because of what she said about not having an orgasm. She was like, you're making fun of me. And they were like, no, it's not about you. It's not about you.
But they can't really say what it's about.
Yeah.
Because
but
she
then
knows
they
she'll
do.
Be. Yeah, she'll
or
be
no,
mad
they
anyway.
Pressure Nikki into doing it.
Do they? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I think it's Vivian who's like, are you gonna tell her?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it was very much like, oh, this is a part about, like, no
but
matter what
end,
bachelorette party you go to, it's gonna devolve into this.
Yeah.
Into, like, well, are you gonna? I just have a secret to tell you.
I know. We all have secrets. We've all fucked so many things. Some of us have had orgasms, some of us hadn't. Anyway.
And, so she, I think the final straw for Lou was when Karen gets her, like, vibrators or something like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Karen bought it, like, way in advance of this
she
confession.
She also gets nipple clamps that, with tassels.
Yeah.
And Andy calls them Christmassy, which I thought was really funny.
They
it was just like
are.
This little throwaway line, but I laughed really hard.
They're red.
She was
they're
like,
sparkly.
Oh, they're so Christmassy.
Yeah, that'd be a nice gift on Christmas.
Perfect gift. You can send gifts to Gal Pals 1. Anyway.
Please don't buy me nipple tassels.
No.
I won't wear them. Anyway. Yeah, and at... Fucking Josh, man. Yeah. Yeah,
Why is he even there?
At one point, he goes and he is trying to console Andy. And again, he's doing an okay job. And then he's just like, are we going to pretend that I'm not in love with you?
Yeah.
And it's just like, ruins the fucking moment, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about him other than he fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? For once in my goddamn life, I went into this movie with an open mind about a man. And guess what happened? Got shafted.
Got let down again.
Let down.
Yeah.
Good.
Should we talk about another great character whose name is Doug?
Do you remember Uber
Doug?
Driver?
Yeah, the Uber driver.
I wrote, Uber driver is pretty chill.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite scenes in the movie because what happens is that Helen is the designated driver to get them to the restaurant that night.
But she's the first to pop that molly.
Yeah. She takes that to mean, I'm the designated driver on the way there.
Yeah.
But whatever on the way back. So they end up getting Uber back. Then they got to go back to get her van the next day. So she is in the Uber with Nikki and Lou. And Doug is just, like, talking about how he's, like, a sleep eater and that he makes, like, when he, in the middle of the night, he gets up and he takes all these different colored cookies and he makes, like, grout with butter and sticks them all over the wall.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Helen's just like,
forgetting.
Dude, I would love to see a blog of this or something.
And he's like, yeah, I had one. It was really taking off. And what's interesting is that, like, he's the best Uber driver because, like, he can sense the tension in the car, and he's like, I need to break it up with something. And of
course,
Helen,
let me tell this whack story.
Yeah, and Helen, of course, will always take the bait for anything. Yeah. Oh my God. She seems like one of those people that would have a story to tell about anything.
Oh yeah.
And
I want to hang out with her.
I kind of wish I had some of her social skills just to be like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see a blog of that.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think of that. I'm just like, can you stop talking
to me?
I'm
like, that's weird. Yeah, stop.
Like, ooh, now I'm hungry.
I know. Hungry for butter on cookies.
Was it butter on cookies?
Yeah,
that's
he said.
Gross.
I know, but he didn't eat them. He put them on the wall to retile his kitchen.
I love it. Gonna be a new good housekeeping or something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Martha Stewart, get in on that.
When they go back to get Helen's van is when Helen pulls out the like 24 karat.
Yeah, the 24 karat gold
blunt. Which I thought was super fancy looking.
It was. I was like, where'd you get that?
It's so beautiful. It's really funny. And like, of course, Lou is like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And she smokes it and immediately is like, ow.
Yeah. She's like, I think it burns your throat.
Which and I thought was really
Helen
funny because
like,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to burn a little bit.
But that whole scene where they just like get high in the van is
the three of them.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah. They talk about, and Lou kind of like relaxes a bit, obviously, because she's like, hi. But she relaxes a bit to talk about the previous night.
Yeah.
And how when she finally comes, it's going to be like a celebration.
She's going to turn into Beyonce.
And then Helen says a line of Beyonce dancers going to shoot out of her cooch.
Her puss. She
her
says
puss.
Puss.
Her
she's
puss.
She's like, oh, those girls are going to shoot out your puss. They're going to be like those dinosaurs that you put in water and then they get big, but they're gonna come out of your boat.
Which I'm like, do you want something that soggy in there?
Or
do they get
that sounds like a
do they get soggy after?
Happen.
Like oh I would, I just imagine them as really tiny Beyoncés, and then as they come out, they grow.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what
I'm
Helen
gesturing
would
say. With my fingers right now. She's about half an inch, and then she grows to about 4 inches.
She doesn't grow to human size.
No, I love little Beyonce.
Okay. I thought it was the backup dancers.
Sure, them too.
Yeah. Because Lou's going to turn into Beyonce. Then she's got
okay.
the backup dancers shooting
got
out
it.
Of her.
Sorry.
Get are you, with it, Alicia.
Wait, are you thinking, do they say the single ladies video? Because that's what I'm picturing.
I don't think they say it, but good
I'm
thing to picture.
Because, like, that would be perfect for going.
Alicia's doing the dance right
now. Going out of the vagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really sweet moment between Lou and her sister as
yeah.
well. Because
and they talk about the divorce, too.
Yeah. And, yeah, because Lou's upset because her sister isn't telling her this, like, huge part of her life. Mm-hmm.
And whoops, like, Lou's not telling Andy a huge thing either.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, what's up with these people not talking?
Hmm.
I don't like it. Why don't people talk?
Talk, damn it.
I'm not mad. I'm not bitter.
Yeah.
I forget when it... Oh, yeah, it's after that. So, because I wrote Beyonce lines. And then
yeah.
I wrote, Andy comes just going down on Lou.
Yeah.
And Andy gets pissed because she knows Lou's upset. And she's like, I just can't help it.
Yeah.
Well,
so before that, one thing I like about this movie is that Nikki... Like, each woman, so, like, Andy and Lou, they both have at least one person there who can, like, kind of talk to them about what's going on. So, like, Nikki and Lou, they have this conversation about how Lou needs to, like, say what she needs.
Yeah.
And Vivian and Andy have a similar conversation where Vivian, who can be kind of annoying... She makes a really good point where she says that Lou is probably thinking a lot about Andy when they're having sex.
Yeah, instead of herself.
Yeah, and Andy actually says, well, what else should she be thinking about? And Vivian's like, herself.
Yeah.
And that is a really crucial line for me. I'm like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But Andy doesn't get that until Vivian says it. And then they have that sex scene where she's like, okay, I'm going to focus on you.
Yeah.
But it's not that simple because it's like you can't control what someone else is thinking or feeling in their
mind.
And
that's for Andy's very much a control freak.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And it's like her saying, all right, I'm going to focus on you.
Yeah.
Is code for now you need to focus on you.
Yeah.
Or like it's going to somehow change her partner's mind.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
No.
Andy really frustrates me because I wish she would just understand that sex isn't an end-all, be-all
event. I think she gets there in the end.
She does.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's...
But yeah, it is frustrating.
It's just upsetting, like,
Because for her, it's been such a huge part of her life. Like, maybe not sex necessarily, but, like, being able to have orgasms.
Yeah.
When she's talking about it in the beginning, she's, like, really excited about it.
Yeah, she puts a lot of value
on it. Yeah, she puts a lot of value on it, yeah.
And I think at some point, I think it's in the same conversation with Vivian, but I'm not sure, so correct me if I'm wrong. But she says something to the effect of, like, you probably don't, Vivian says to Andy, you probably don't make her feel safe.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And Lou does come out with that. She says, you don't make me feel safe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
That's how it is. And it's like, that really broke my heart.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
That's really upsetting to be...
Because whether or not you orgasm, it's important to feel safe.
Yeah, especially to someone that you're about to get married to.
I know, like, seriously.
It broke my heart because she got to that point where they're about to get married and she didn't feel safe sexually with her partner.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Yeah. I think she just didn't feel safe in general.
Yeah.
Because...
She's not in touch with her emotions.
No.
And Andy
kind of... doesn't say what she needs.
Yeah, and Andy kind of squashes them anyway. Mm-hmm. It's
easy. It's easy for Lou just to defer to Andy.
Yeah. And she does a lot.
And
she
does,
says, like, oh, she's such a powerful, confident woman. Like, from the first time she saw her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, you're hard to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job. This is why I don't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Like that, all that kind of talk. It's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like escalates.
Yeah. She's like, you people better work this out. Because you're about to be committed to each other forever.
Yeah, it really.
Or, you know, forever. You don't have to be married forever. But it's kind of what you're saying when you get married. Like, gonna try it anyway.
Yeah, you don't really go into it being like, well, for now.
Yeah.
My next line is, everyone in this movie needs therapy.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? Why doesn't anyone talk to anyone? They all need to talk to a therapist.
I mean, maybe not Helen, though. She's fine.
Helen's all right.
She could be the therapist.
Because she has no filter. It's just, it's all good.
Yeah.
Who is it? Nikki says, you need to be able to tell her what you need. I guess she says it to Lou.
Yeah, that's after Lou runs away, after she and Andy have that conversation in the bed, and Lou, like, runs out of the house and down to the water and sits there, and Nikki goes after, and then they have that conversation.
I wrote under that, I said, look into why you feel that way, and I think that's what a lot of people, I feel like, this exact thing has happened to me before. This whole movie has happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Including the bachelorette party?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have a bachelorette party.
Oh.
I had a wedding weekend.
That sounds fun.
It was fun.
I went to my friend's wedding weekend. That was really fun. So, you know.
You know, was it a gay wedding?
No.
Not as good as mine.
No, you're right. Couldn't have been.
Then again, I got divorced. Anyway.
Anyways, moving on.
Looking into why you either think the way you do, feel the way you do, is just so important.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Lou says, I just want everything to be chill.
Yeah, she does say that.
But life isn't like that.
Yeah, you can't always have that.
And, like, you're putting so much pressure on yourself, and you're so not going to be chill if you just keep, like, pushing these things behind you. And,
yeah.
Ugh.
The thing is, though, like, I relate to her so hard.
Yeah.
Because even though I totally believe everything we're saying, I find it really difficult sometimes to be like all the way open and like really examine my own shit.
Yeah, I think because it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
But I don't know.
So like if I was in that situation, I could see myself being Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people need to flip the script of, instead of saying, what am I going to lose, think about what you're going to gain from it.
Mm.
I know, I should be a life coach.
You should. You just help my life so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You always help my life. You're cool. I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
We're best friends.
Yes, ma'am.
We're gal pals.
Gal pals. Whoa, is that why we named it this?
Anyway.
So, on a more serious-er topic.
Serious-er. That's a word.
Yes. A bigly word. I didn't just say that anyway. there is talk of sexual assault in the stories with Vivian and Karen. When they're talking about their either first orgasm or sexual experiences, sexual awakening, mm-hmm. whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And while sexual assault and rape certainly is not sexual awakening.
No. It's part of their history.
It's part of their sexual history.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Abuse is. And yeah, Vivian's story is really, really, it got me, and I was really upset, especially with everything that's going on with, mm-hmm. He Who Must Not Be Named.
Yeah.
Brett Kavanaugh. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it hit hard.
It did. And it's been just a real hard week altogether, but, like, kind of just a hard life. A hard entire history of the world.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, like, we're recording this now, and we still don't know the verdict. It's been pushed out a week.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time this is posted, we'll know.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, scary?
It is scary. I'm just so fucking mad that this is where we are.
Yeah.
That we live in a world like this. I mean, obviously, there's great things in the world and great people, but, like,
But I'm proud of this movie for putting this in, because you have, again, the cast is 80% women.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, statistically, you think at least one or two of them
mm-hmm.
Would have been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I'm proud that they put that in the movie mm-hmm. because it is something that should never ever be erased or forgotten
mm-hmm.
about being
the reality of being a woman.
Yeah. And it's just it's really upsetting, and that Vivian's first, you know.
Yeah. No, it's gross.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking angering. It's just like rage inducing.
It is. I was watching how do you know the right word for it? Testimony.
Oh yeah, the hearings.
Dr. Ford's testimony.
Oh yeah.
In the car, and I was like, I can't fucking believe this. Anyway. What's good for Dr. Ford and what I assume. And also Vivian is that she does find safety in sex again.
Mm-hmm.
And she learns to be more like herself. And I thought that story was really funny because she was like, me and my boyfriend, who is a terrible boyfriend.
Yeah, she really doesn't like her boyfriend, but she doesn't want to break up with him because it's too much hassle.
Oh, no. Her current boyfriend, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But also the boyfriend that she found her, like, sexual awakening mm-hmm. in was this guy who she was like, terrible boyfriend, but, like, he really made me feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, and apparently, like, when she finally did orgasm and had, like, a very don't know, mind-shattering, life-altering,
yeah,
you know, orgasm. He was like, whoa, I've never seen a girl just go for it before. And it's like, fuck yeah, dude.
And then she talked about how feeling powerful like that really turned her on, and how it just felt also just empowering in general. Mm. And that to me was like kind of key, because Lou doesn't feel empowered.
No, she doesn't.
And a lot of women don't feel empowered.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, and we're taught to not be really sexual creatures.
Right.
We're sexualized.
Yeah.
But we're not taught to be sexual.
Okay. Melissa Phoebos, who I have a giant crush on. I've had a huge crush on her for a long time. She's a writer.
Sarah has a crush on every boy. No.
Boy? Help, do you know me? Melissa Phoebos is an amazing writer. She wrote this essay, I'll link to it in the show notes, about peeping Toms and like sexual assault and power, and it is just incredible. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's a really good read. Also read literally everything she's ever written. She's amazing.
I just had a recovered memory.
What?
I was a victim of peeping Tom and I totally forgot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yikes.
It's like those things that like you don't realize you've been like, I don't want to say victimized. That's not the right word. What's a better word for it?
I don't know.
Realize you've been affected, I guess. Yeah. Until it's like, because I feel like a lot of women feel like they can't be part of the movement if they haven't been like physically assaulted.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you've just been like catcalled,
mm-hmm.
if you just exist as a woman in this world, mm-hmm. you've already, like, you can be part of it any day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a vagina.
Yeah.
As long as you identify as... Actually, you don't even have to identify as a woman.
You can just be a decent human being.
Yeah.
Maybe not touch other people without their permission.
Yeah. Anyway, man, this is a therapy session.
This got deep. I just really want to reiterate that everyone should read Melissa Phoebos because I just love her so much.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily like, I'm not traumatized by the event. It's just like something that I forgot. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about like how those things happen. Ugh.
Well, I would ask you more, but I don't know how much you want to talk about on a public forum.
No, it's fine. It was when I was having sex. And
while someone was watching you?
Yeah.
Oh god.
And I didn't know about it until my it was my ex-wife and I before we were married, and one of our neighbors was like, "Did you have anyone over last night?"
Oh my god.
Like, "Oh no."
That's
why?
So scary.
Cuz there was a man outside and we had like one of those sliding doors.
Oh my god.
And like, you know, scared me ever since to have a sliding door.
Oh my god. I'm scared for you, even though...
And it was just like a hot night. We had the thing open. The blinds were closed.
But the door was open?
But the door was open. The blind
could have come in?
No. There was a screen there with a lock.
Oh.
I mean, yes, technically.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But it's like... Yeah,
oh
isn't
god.
That fucking weird? And
oh,
she's like...
Oh, so fucked up.
Yeah.
Ugh. Why?
Yeah,
you should really read this Melissa Phoebos thing. I'll send it to you. I'll also put it in the show notes.
It's just like, it's not that I wasn't aware of it before.
Yeah.
But these kinds of situations are becoming more and more prevalent
mm-hmm.
in my, like, just noticing. Because people are finally, like, standing up and saying, like, women are finally standing up and saying something. Not to, like, say that they, not to victim blame or anything
like
that.
No.
But it's just like...
It sucks that, like,
it's our
we
fucking,
have to do it.
Yeah, it's our fucking time and we need to
take
these guys down.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're misandrists. We don't like men. And by men, I mean...
Cis dudes.
Cis dudes who... I don't know. Obviously not all men, but whatever. Fuck that.
A lot of men.
A lot
too
of
many,
men.
Too many men.
Too many men.
Anyway, back to the happy ending.
Yeah, they have a big fight, but it's a good fight.
Yeah, so...
The Good Fight, that's a TV show with a lesbian in it.
I should the
really
good fight?
Just stop. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard of it, sorry. I don't know her.
It's not important.
I thought you were saying The Good Wife.
It's a spinoff of The Good Wife.
Oh, okay. Then I know what you're talking about. I was like, I know there was a spinoff.
Yep.
So Andy, like, packs her shit, mm-hmm. and she's going to leave.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And Andy's like,
where do you think you're going?
I don't know how to fix this. Like, it needs to be over.
Right.
What?
Yeah, she's like, I need to fix it. If I can't fix it, it's over.
Yeah.
It's like, no, and fuck that. We love each other for other reasons.
Yeah, and she says, the big problem is me. And Lou, like, you know, goes off on her in the best way possible. And she's like,
finally sticking up for herself.
Yeah. She goes, we're going to have kids, and they're going to have problems, and we're going to help them.
She's like, we're going to get a dog. We're going to talk about that later.
I want a medium-sized dog.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that they, like, switch roles there is really important. Mm-hmm. And that's
like
how you know.
They're in each other's shoes, almost.
Yeah, and that's how you know that they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because they... Yeah, they switch roles. And it's so funny because, like, so I didn't know that they were fighting in front of everyone until they pan out. And, like, it's just everyone on the couch
they
watching
them.
They,
like, look to the side and they're like, oh.
Oh, hey.
Literally everyone's there, like, this is a play or something.
Which I thought was really funny. And
yeah.
Perfectly encapsulates the film.
Because,
like, these friends are going to be with you through thick and thin, and they are just in this, like, huge part of your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully not Josh, but whatever.
I'm sure he will be.
Yeah.
So, in general, Andy finally learned that sex isn't about orgasms.
Hope.
Yay!
And Lou finally learned how to say stuff to Andy.
And I finally learned that I need to look up Ever Maynard on the YouTube.
Yep. Watch all of her clips. Find her everywhere.
She sounds so freaking funny.
Oh my God.
Also, there wasn't a lot of music in this, but the two songs that they did play, at least, I love.
The one in the club I really liked a lot. What was that one?
I don't know.
I don't either, but...
That's the one I don't
It just
remember.
Was good, because in the club it was, like, it was kind of slow-mo, but the way... It was, like, kind of this weird staccato beat, and it just worked really well.
Yeah, it does. There's that song...
Oh, yeah.
I love that song.
That's
and then
good
the, Finally it's happened to me.
Oh, yeah.
So at the very end,
Oh,
those
are
like such like poppy, happy songs.
It is funny though that there really wasn't any other music in this.
Yeah, I think because it's probably so independent.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it didn't need it. It didn't feel like
no,
it was missing at all.
It didn't because
it.
When you think about it, most of the movie takes place in this like one location.
Yeah.
And they don't have like just music playing because that's not how
well,
a lot
and
of
Karen sings, so
yeah,
there's
Karen,
that.
Yeah, Karen does sing, but it's a lot of, like, sitting around and talking.
Yeah.
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 Oh, and they also finally play the boob game. Which
yeah,
was
at the
funny.
Very end.
So, that this is, like,
of
the
Of course
funniest...
Josh made up this game.
No, I don't think he did. Nikki did.
Oh, really?
But he put his own boobs in there.
That's right.
Which I thought
And he drew them
sense.
As, like, hard pecs, which, whatever.
He's not that buff. but I guess in comparison to everyone else,
yeah,
he would probably have the hardest boobs.
And Helen says, good luck, because I'm wearing a sports bra.
She's like, nah.
The game is that everyone has to feel each other's breasts and then, like, go to the drawing and try and pick, like, which one belongs to who. Drew everybody's boobs from pictures that they sent him.
I would never do that.
Me either.
I was just like, I'll just draw my own titties. Get out of here. I thought that
also
was...
that just assumes everyone's cool with having their boobs touched by everyone.
Yeah, I guess they probably
They know
asked.
Each other well, I guess. I'm sure they asked because they wouldn't have sent photos otherwise.
That's true. It makes me think, like, I need to put that in my back pocket for a potential party game.
Yeah.
With a, of course. Is it okay if we do this? Does this sound like a cool idea to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it sounds fucking hilarious.
Just like, everyone please give consent, sign on the line.
Sign on the line. You touch the boobs. Anyway, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked how different this movie was from a lot of movies
yeah.
I've seen. I mean, it's indie.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah, it really is. It definitely had an indie movie vibe, but it was like, I was a lot more into it than I am a lot of indie movies. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it wasn't super weird. Like, no, a lot of indie movies.
It wasn't like trying to be a very avant-garde or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was totally an improvised comedy, dramedy, I would say, about the female orgasm. Mm-hmm. That was a good part.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. So, highly recommend. It's on Netflix.
Do it. Tell us what you think.
Also, Constance Wu should always play lesbians, in my opinion. I thought she did a good job.
Oh, she was so
great. She does a great job in everything, which is why she's also good at playing lesbians.
Yeah, she's great. She's really funny.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think. If you have any contact information for Constance Wu.
No, we don't want to stalk her.
No, I'm not saying that. No. We just have to write a screenplay so she'll be in our next movie.
Oh, that sounds good.
Next movie, because we already have 5.
Yeah, so many projects. That's a lie.
All right, well, give us a shout out at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Galpalswatch on Twitter.
Galpalswatch on Instagram. And galpalswatch the Tumblr? The podcast. At Tumblr. Dot Tumblr.
Just look it up on Tumblr. Galpalswatch the podcast.
I know words.
You know what Tumblr
I
is.
I know it.
You're gay. You? That's why you're listening to this.
I'm what?
I'm talking to the listeners who are gay.
They're what?
They're gay.
Gay! 'Cause it's just blue. But then I couldn't not sing it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, that's in my head.
Child of the 2000s. You are welcome.
Yes, thank you.
This is going into the bloopers anyway.
Oh, you're recording?
Yes.
Cool.
I didn't really mean to, but I just anyway.